College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? College football. The season is upon us, technically, you know, week zero just happened, not much to write home about. I do think they're prepping us for week zero, though, when we do this expansion in the playoffs, because, you know, you need, you're going to have more games if you have 12 teams. And so I'm thinking that week zero is actually going to be the official start at some point. But who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. But we're not going to go too deep into any kind of recap for week zero. Week one is here. And on paper, it looks pretty freaking good if you look at maybe the last decade of opening weekends. You know, sometimes some teams ranked very high and they get blown out or get beat by a team they shouldn't. Sometimes we've had, you know, the upsets. I remember years ago on the boat hanging out Labor Day weekend, and I think this is more like text messages or something like that, but I remember Marshall calling me saying Michigan just got beat, and we were talking about it a little bit. So there tends to be some wild stuff happening on the opening weekend, but we definitely will kind of preview our way through the conferences, preview and predict these games. Like I said, not a whole lot from week zero to talk about. We will kind of open up with some chatter about what actually has been the main topic, right? We know Oklahoma and Texas is headed to the SEC. Is it 2025? I believe their contract's up in the Big 12. So we'll see if they get there earlier or not. We, you know, heard about the alliance forming between the Big Ten, Pac-12, and the ACC. So we'll discuss that a little bit. Some seem to think it's just going to be two super leagues and they're going to be all by themselves. I don't know. There's a lot to discuss, but we'll get to it in just a moment here on the College Ball Show. If this is your first time listening to the show, though, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. To listen to the College Ball Show, though, you don't have to go to Ropeadope and Blog Talk. You can find this college football show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a whole lot of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's not called AT&T TV anymore. It's Direct TV Stream. That's what it turned into. The plans start as low as $69.99 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere on any device. The cloud DVR is available. And if you sign up for the choice package or above, you get a free year of HBO Max. That's DirecTV Stream. I almost said it again. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, and see what is going on with him. What's going on, Marshall? How the hell are you, buddy?
Can't complain. The summer treated me pretty well. Back to school now, back to teaching. So far, the kids have been good. And my goal this year, Chris, is to try to golf at least once a week or once every other week, because I knocked off like two more strokes off my handicap this summer. So I don't want to wait like until June when I'm with my dad in Lakeville, Minnesota to golf again. So I'm going to try to golf once a week during the school year and not lose all the effort I've made over, because that's one shitty thing about teaching is like it's impossible to golf. So that's my personal goal, and I'll keep you posted, you know, throughout the year, because I know you really care about that. So yeah,
it's good to hone the skills, keep the rhythm, keep the feel of it, and also just get out and walk a little bit and sweat a little bit and stuff like that. That's kind of good. Yeah, get your mind off stuff right during the week too. That's a good goal to have. I know this fall I'm going to try to go on some longer walks like I did during COVID. I took one today with my mom, and I was like, oh, that's right. I remember I can just kind of detach from society and get lost in the woods. So, yeah, I definitely want to keep a couple of habits going as well. So before we get into, you know, this week one schedule and preview and predictions and kind of break this year down a little bit. Much of the news in the last month has been Oklahoma and Texas leaving. As we know, the Big 12 has been kind of all over the place. You know, the Texas Longhorns, obviously the strongest by, I'd say, a sizable amount in the conference, because remember, they're the ones who had the Texas Longhorn network. You know, we never did get a Big 12 network like we did with the, you know, the other parts of the conferences across the country, especially the Big Ten and the SEC. There's no channel that says the Texas Long or the Big 12, you know, network. So you always kind of knew, huh, I wonder if somebody's going to leave there. But to lose Oklahoma and Texas is a big deal. You got to think, although it's been a while now, you got to think Nebraska's kind of happy right now. Like, hey, man, we've been making more money than them per year based off our conference. Luckily, we got the hell out of there because they could be on that, you know, moving now type thing. And then obviously, you know, we've heard about, you know, the alliance between the Big 10, the ACC, and the Pac-12. What are your thoughts in general? Obviously, maybe not always year in and year out, but mostly, obviously, the SEC is the strongest conference. Every once in a while, the Big 10 sneaks in there, but it's pretty much the SEC now going on since the mid-2000s, let's put it that way, 2005 and on. It's been the strongest conference. And to add Oklahoma and Texas, that does add layers. And you wonder what Texas – I mean, I get it, Texas, it's all about money anyway, but Texas has got to be like, oh, shit, here we go. You know, we haven't been doing what Oklahoma's been doing all these last couple of years. Even though they haven't won the chip, they've at least, you know, consistently made a dent in the season, whereas we're still waiting for a Texas team to break out for, you know, it's been quite a while. So you got to wonder what some of the, like, if I'm a fan, it's like, man, I couldn't even barely win the Big 12. How the hell are we going to compete in the SEC? They really hope they're on the Georgia-Florida side. What are your thoughts, though, in general, as far as what it means for the Big 12, too, right? I mean, that's pretty screwed right there, but I mean, the SEC is just going to be that extra layer deep whenever this actually takes place.
Yeah, I think that the name, image, likeness deal where players can get paid for being, you know, having sponsors with restaurants and stuff like that was obviously a good step in the right direction, 100%. And I'm sure that will have its issues. But I think that was like a big, like, you know, siren alert to like, hey, like NCAA, they're not as powerful as they need to be anymore. And if they're less of a power, let's do what we can maybe to kind of join up and make conferences together. And I think that's the route they're going, like proposing these ideas and the teams leaving. I mean, college football is a sport where you have such a small number of teams that can legit contend for a title each year. So the thought of these power conferences getting together kind of makes sense. I'm not really sure, as we were saying for the show, how you would align regular season schedules and conference tournaments. But I think if you're combining like big name schools with other big name schools, I think the idea is there, Chris. Again, I'm not sure if people even know the details about it, but it just sounds like something that we're, hey, let's just put these things together, because, you know, in college football, the odds of any mid-major conference or no-name conference winning the title is almost like a 2% chance at the start of each year.
Yeah, so even like, if you do expand, you know.
Yeah, so let's team up. Let's join forces. Let's throw these big-name schools together. Let's maybe try to get some, like, super contracts from TV. Who knows? But I get the thought of it making sense. Right? Like, yeah, let's – y'all join us. We'll join y'all and – like, you know, maybe the Big 12 and SEC could get together or something, or, you know, now the Pac-12 and ACC. Like, I get the idea of, hey, let's just make a bigger conference together and just have a couple of, like, power conferences. I've heard some people think maybe in a couple of years we'll have, like, four power conferences of college football. And if that's the case, like, cool, you know.
Instead of five, no Big 12.
Or maybe more so have like four like really big conferences that are a combination of a ton of good football conferences. Yeah. Sure.
So out of 120 teams, maybe 80 of them in these conferences or something.
Yeah. You got like four super conferences and the other like lower level schools are still kind of in their own small ones. But I could see that happening. I'm not sure what the plan is for, again, deciding champion, but I'm sure that's something that could work out. Maybe if there ever was to be four power super conferences, maybe those final four teams would play and contend for a title or something, you know, something to that extent. I could see that working, but I think with just the way with how society and media and sports are, like teaming up with other schools to make your media presentation just a bigger deal and add names to your conferences, I think is a good mindset overall. And I think these schools are going to try and find ways to do it. Again, I don't know what the details would be. Like when I first saw the, and I'll throw this back to you, the Pac-12 and Big Ten and ACC want to join forces. Initially in my head, I'm like, oh my God, that college basketball, like my Tar Heels maybe playing like a regular season game at UCLA or at like Minnesota or Michigan. Like I was like, dude, for basketball, that'd be really cool. And I was like, I don't know how that would work. But just the thought of it, it's like, okay, like if we're going to join conferences, you're going to have a lot of college sport fans happy because your team's going to still be your team, but you'll be playing, you know, schools across the country. Now, obviously, that brings in traveling and all sorts of issues, you know, everything big picture. But I think the idea is there. And I'm sure as we move down the road, Chris, and we're doing this podcast, hopefully 5 years from now, we could be looking at a really different type of podcast for college basketball and college football, but we'll still be able to talk about the sport we love. It just might be a little different sense of teams and who's playing who and whatnot, but I think it's a good thing and I think it's going to happen inevitably. So hopefully these conference people or college presidents make these choices, at least are well informed about it.
So what the hell is the NCAA going to do? They can't bust kids for making money anymore. What do they do? They just sit back and add money into their bank and their Swiss bank accounts and venture capital things. But it is kind of funny. And that's what makes me think that a lot of, you know, we've heard about the super conference before and you got to think the NCAA has kind of got to be shaking in their boots a little bit because, you know, these are rules. There's no laws. There's rules. And those laws, if we talk about laws, a lot of those laws are changing anyway, but rules in general from the NCAA are going to mean more or less, I should say. Now, obviously, academically, you know, there are some things, and just in general, getting somebody into school, you know, there's still stuff they obviously are going to do, but sure. It does, you know, we hear about them going away from the NCAA, and this is the SEC's plan. And when you get Oklahoma and Texas, the most valuable Big 12 schools, and in that region, Tornado Alley and in the Southwest, that is the two big schools. So that is a good pick to you know, add revenue to your side. Now, the Big Ten is a huge conference revenue-wise, and it's right up there with the SEC. So maybe they're thinking, well, let's do something, whether it's a power conference or whether it's just – you know, kind of like in basketball, how they have the ACC and Big Ten Challenge. So you create rivalries each and every year. Or maybe it is a super conference. I'm not sold that some people saying the SEC is going to crown their champion and then the Big Ten and whoever, those, you know, three other conferences are going to crown theirs. And it's going to be like the old school where 1 and 2 don't play or 1 and 4 don't play. It'll be 1 against, you know, 7 and 2 against 6 or 5 or 10 or, you know, and so they actually don't meet for the national championship. And you wonder if all this threat has got the NCAA kind of shaking in their boots. Obviously, they do have contracts that are already signed and they're agreed upon and they have to live up to, I'm assuming. So that stuff's, you know, quite a ways away. But I'm not sold that the Big Ten, ACC, and the Pac-12 are going to all be together and it's going to be 30 teams because that's a lot of money to put in the pot and split, sure. But it just seems like, man, it's just more to cut into people's, like, it on the overall revenue increases, of course. But the Pac-12 compared to the Big Ten, not really comparable revenue-wise. So to me, I don't know. I kind of feel like they're just going to beef up rivalries and all that. And just going down that line, they did talk about how, you know, there already is through bowl alliances. Remember the Rose Bowl, Big Ten, Pac-12. You know, they already have, it says the three leagues already have 68 football games scheduled to take place between 2022 and 2035. The number increases to 103 when including what you'd think Notre Dame, which would be a nice chip in USC, or Notre Dame plays USC every year, Stanford, and then five ACC opponents annually. It also says, though, before we do any kind of more scheduling or figure out whatever we're going to do, there is a desire to see what a potential expanded college football playoff model looks like before adopting new scheduling strategies. And that kind of goes in what we've talked about a little bit with the expansion to 12, if in fact that's where it goes, which is just, it's just a money grab. That's all it is, because you don't need 12 teams. And this is what pisses me off about some of these media members that just harp so much as if four is just horrible after we only had, we can't even say two for so long, for decades and decades. We didn't even have one against two most of the time, but then we only had, you know, one against two in the, you know, the BCS era. But do we really want to go back? Because if we expand this stuff so much, do we really want to go back to not crowning a full champion and all that? But the, to me, the only worry, the biggest worry, you know, money grab is a money grab. I get it. But the biggest worry that we've talked about is if you expand it to 12 instead of four, what it is now, or like we've talked about, expand it to five or six, eight tops though. And when you look at it, you know, that was the biggest argument from the top two. We kept looking back at the top four teams instead of top two. And you say, oh, this thing would have been figured out and all that, and it would have been so much better. And then we get this and they're like, oh, expand it to 16. Oh, go to 64. It's like, dude, this is football, not basketball. You, first of all, there's not as much time to do it, and injuries. You can't just have this 64 team. You know, this 12 is ridiculous. And I wonder what that impact, we won't see it right away because college football schedule so far out, but the impact, I really wonder what it's going to do to September. We talk about the schedule we got coming up. Why would you go out there and schedule as many hard teams, even if you're a mid-major, to sneak in as a 12 or an 11? I just, the expansion to 12 is just a slap in the face, to be honest with you. And I really hope it's only eight. We've kind of gone down the five and six, which works probably better. Eight kind of works, you know. But to me, just kind of blending all this stuff together, 12 teams is just ridiculous. But I'm not sold that there's going to be a 30-team conference and they're going to crown their own champion and they won't have, you know, the SEC, believe it or not, does need, I guess we could just say Ohio State, right? They actually do need Ohio State and some Big Ten teams too, because that only helps the ratings in general, and that keeps everybody involved in really Midwest and the South, right? That keeps everybody involved because the West Coast kind of gets lost. But you have, you know, names that when they get good coaches, Oregon, USC, and we talked about Notre Dame, and obviously Clemson. We've heard Clemson and Florida State, you know, right now, ACC's wondering if they're going to hold on to them. So there's, you know, like you said, the future will tell us, but I'm just not sold that they're going to have two or three major leagues and then they won't play each other at the end. But if that's the case, then I think that would be a major step backwards. And it I don't know, it almost feels worse than what it was when we had it one against nine and two against four and stuff like that. Of course, the conferences would be better, so throughout the year you may get better, you know, maybe more, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, on one hand, and I'll kind of, we'll get rid of this, but on one hand, the argument to what I'm saying is, well, if you can get 12, like the argument against what I'm saying is if you can get 12 teams in, then maybe they will challenge each other more because they know that they can get in being eighth or ninth and they won't be afraid of losing once or twice. So that is an argument. It is worth saying, but yeah, we'll see where that takes us. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's really interesting. We'll see exactly where that goes. Speaking of previewing the season in general, obviously the SEC on paper does once again look like the strongest. You know, the Big Ten is usually right there too. The Big 12, you know, with Iowa State coming into the fold, I've seen plenty of experts or so-called experts actually think they're going to win the Big 12, and they definitely have a lot of, you know, talent back. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But looking at the SEC, you know, Alabama obviously has a brand new quarterback, and they reload like crazy, as we know. It doesn't feel like on the surface that they have as, you know, even if it's young talent, do they have the depth they've had at wide receiver? It's tough to say they do if you look at the last 4 years or 5 years, what's come through there. And if you look at just the experience coming back, and they're never going to be a top three team in the SEC as far as experience coming back, because they lose so many juniors, of course, but they really lost a fair amount, them and Ohio State. We'll talk a little bit about that. They obviously have Miami to open up. What are your thoughts on the SEC? Can Florida keep going? Georgia has a huge, huge game against Clemson. Can, you know, a lot of people think Texas A&M, now that, you know, the head coach has been there, Jimbo, for a while, he's got that thing going in the right direction. You know, LSU was really young and inexperienced, and they had their COVID issues as well last year. Are they going to be on the up and up? But, you know, it's kind of funny. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in the top 25, and we're not talking about Auburn involved in the rankings. That would be the one team that stands out that's not ranked, that we're used to being ranked anyway. What do you think in general, how this thing's going to look on paper thus far? Because Mississippi, LSU, and even Missouri, speaking of, have a lot of talent coming back with a lot more experience than they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like usual, this conference will give us the best games. They're going to go back to ESPN, so you won't have those CBS mid-afternoon games. But anyways, they're always going to give us the best games of the week. Bama is going to be rebuilding, but I still want to see someone else win the SEC before I doubt them. Like, I saw this one ESPN guy, like, his prediction on Sports Center a couple weeks ago was Bama was going to lose, like, at A&M and, like, at Florida or something. It's like, okay, you know, it might happen, but dude, again, until it does, like, all right, whatever. You know, the only guy I'm really thinking that can knock off Bama is LSU, because Coach O's done it and he won a title, like, you know, and you know they'll for sure be better this year. That team last year was hideous, but I'm assuming they've found a quarterback by now, so Bama will be good.
It looks like they did, yeah. Brennan, yeah, Bama, or whatever.
Bama will be good again. LSU will be better. A&M, they should be improving. Every year they lose, they've lost a couple of games that you know, Jimbo doesn't think he should. So that, and you know, they were really close to making the playoff last year. So, like usual, the West will be really strong. I hope for the sake of Texas, they throw Texas in the West and put Oklahoma in the East, because I want to see Texas suffer.
I think that's how they're going to do it.
I hope so. But even for the West, Arkansas, who was pretty much
A speed bump around.
It was a speed bump for SEC teams last year. Like, they were good. Like, they were not great, but like, they were a really competitive team that, if not for some bullshit spike call, like, should have beat Auburn. And like, they played a lot of people tight. Yeah. So Arkansas,
they got a ton of talent coming back too.
Yeah. So a lot of talent coming back. You've had the best year you've had in about 10 years. So you assume they'll be better. Auburn's under a new coach, so you assume that they'll be maybe different this year, for better or worse. Bo Nix is still there, which I find hard to fucking believe. Mississippi State, now that he's got his own guys in there with Leach, like, they should be better. My guy Kiffin, if his defense can be half decent at all, they'll be better. like that division alone is just effing insane. I mean, the fact that, you know, yeah, Leach and Kiffin are building and Arkansas is building and Auburn, I guess, is having a down year. But even for all the years, Chris, we've done this podcast, I feel like we talk about Auburn like at least every other week, because whether they're ranked or not ranked, they always play people tight. I mean, that is literally just like a death conference, because for normally there's at least two or three kind of, you know, teams for Bama to kill that you really can't even say that. And again, I'm not saying that like my boy is going to win it or Leach will win it, but or Auburn would. But all the schools who are a little bit down are better, and the better schools are still not missing a beat. So the West will be crazy again. And in the East, you'd assume, like usual, Florida and Georgia will be up top fighting for it. Missouri's got a head coach now in his second year. They had the freshman quarterback of the year in the conference. He's coming back. Technically freshman, sophomore, whatever you want to call it, COVID. So Missouri will be better. Kentucky seems to win about 8 or 9 games every year, even though they never have a chance for a title, but they're always respectable.
Yeah.
And then you also got South Carolina, Tennessee, and Vandy, who are three teams who probably, who their fan bases would love to have a positive year. It feels like every couple of years, Tennessee switches coaches and they, you know, go to shit and they have to revamp again. So I'm not going to worry about them. Vandy's just awful. And South Carolina, I feel almost since this is probably like around year 9, 10, 11 for our podcast, they've almost probably been in a decline ever since our podcast has started. Like they used to contend a little bit, and I feel like they slowly trickle down almost each year. Like they're never a hideous team, Chris, but they're never that great. And it almost feels like they've been trickling down worse and worse ever since the old ball coach left.
I was going to say, what year did he leave? Because that's when they started declining. Because otherwise, they were very competitive.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they were, when he came there, he did have them playing. But since he's been gone, you just haven't noticed that strong. So, yeah, the West this year is insane. And if someone can push Florida or Georgia, if maybe Missouri or Kentucky give them a good fight, which they possibly could, then that could be a fun conference to talk about. But yeah, Blake, as usual, we will be previewing SEC games every week just because the West alone is loaded. And Florida and Georgia are legit title contenders as the year starts off.
Yeah, and just looking at toughest schedules, looking at the Phil Steele's 2021 tough schedules, the number one and number two, Arkansas and Auburn. And that's has to do with, you know, some of it has to do with especially Auburn in, you know, having to LSU 16th, having to go against those teams. But also, all it takes is a little non-conference addition to a big, you know, to your schedule. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, yeah, you got one of the toughest. Even Alabama is ranked 19th in the toughest. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see if Arkansas can continue to improve, just because that's, like I said, one hell, you know, of a schedule just in general. Moving on to the other biggest conference, the Big Ten. You know, Indiana had a pretty damn good year. They do have a lot of talent coming back, including the quarterback who got banged up down the stretch. They got a lot of confidence. And as we saw down the stretch, how the players love that head coach. And I remember that interview he was doing and all the love he got as the players were leaving the field. That's just one of those moments that you kind of remember, you know, to be new at a program to an extent. And you know, can they bounce, or not bounce back, but can they do it again? Because all of a sudden, you're not going to be sneaking up on people. But they do have a lot of talent. It's tough to say what Michigan State is in general right now. They've been in flux, obviously. We'll see which way they go, you know, when it comes to it. Michigan, it's funny because, you know, Michigan was supposed to have a solid year last year. Well, really in the year before that. But just in general, and you look at their experience coming back, it's not that good. You know, it's fairly low in the Big Ten. Penn State's supposed to have kind of a bounce back year. They have a lot of returning depth. Obviously, Ohio State did lose. I mean, they got, you know, wide receivers galore, and you know they always kind of reload, or not kind of reload, they do, but they really lost a lot of talent really these last 2 years. if you add it up. And their defense wasn't that great, especially on the edges. Last year, it tightened up down the stretch of the season, no doubt. But in that Clemson game, especially, you're like, wow, okay, they were getting pressure on him majorly. But I don't know. You wonder. You wonder exactly, you know, new quarterback. They usually blend in quarterbacks really well, though. Iowa's a team that usually has a lot of 4 and 5 year guys on it. Of course, from their offensive line, they generally have a junior ready to go. They don't necessarily have that, but they have the grinded out recruiting where it always seems like they have talent. But if you look at their inexperience this year, they're pretty low on the chart too. I wonder if this will be one of those 8 and 4, 7 and 5 years. Wisconsin's always pretty damn strong. They also, you know, have a quarterback who's now played for a while. That's kind of what always holds them back. I guess you could say historically, besides 1 year, you know, with Russ. But other than that, it's always like, is this quarterback good enough? And at times it was like, oh, I'm not sure, but they got a youngster that, you know, is pretty damn good. Can Nebraska, you know, show something? Illinois and Nebraska just played. Nebraska almost got back in that game. But Illinois now with Bielema there. It's an interesting conference, and I didn't even mention my squad.
Yeah, I mean, and your squad's got a fun little game here, actually, in just a handful of days.
Well, I don't know how fun it is, but yeah, sure. But they do have, like, I think they're number one in experience coming back in the country or two. Like, they have a ton of stuff coming back. And that offensive line from last year is, or from 2 years ago, the dominant one, is all back intact after having some issues last year with it.
And that's so huge for college football, especially when it's as good as they were. Yeah, you mentioned Indiana. Just the fact that they're ranked preseason 17th is just crazy. Because this is a school that normally would win like 6 games a year and like play Ohio State tight if they got them at home for that year. But that was about it. And they would just be kind of a ho-hum, like middle of the pack, like probably less than Northwestern, less than Purdue school. And they're the 17th ranked team in the country. Now, whether or not they finish there this year, who knows? But clearly they're on the right direction, because that was a preseason ranking they've not had for God knows how long. Even in the day when I loved him, like Antoine Randall-El being option quarterback, I don't think they were normally ranked too high. They were just a super fun team to watch. So even though Ohio State obviously will be the strong favorite to win that division, and Michigan might fight like they could, and Penn State maybe Indiana still makes them being a school worth reckoning with, which would make that whole division fun. Rutgers is getting better, and Maryland still has Tua's brother, and maybe he can add a little magical flair to them. Like, you know, the dude's super talented and athletic, as he showed off last year. He needs a shitload of help to join him, but that division should be pretty fun. And obviously in the West, as we've learned, Chris, that division, it almost feels like every year there's about 4 teams that can win it. So this year, I obviously could say Iowa, Wisconsin, Northwestern, again, has been solid. And then obviously your school, like the Gophers, is going to give a fight. Illinois beat Nebraska. So I think that division might be a little overall more balanced. But obviously the East is probably a little more top heavy. I do like, though, that the Big Ten has head-to-head conference games week one.
Yes.
I think that's really cool. And that's just strictly from a fan perspective. But hell, for all these top-notch schools that schedule their game against Southern Alabama, you know,
Tech,
Baptist Portal
Central,
Tech.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, hell, go out and play a game. Like, and you still get to schedule your Southern Alabama Baptist Tech school and get your, you know, $50,000 check. But it makes the guys ready. And hell, and for the schools that always like the cupcakes, you know what? You know, go kick rocks. Like, let's prove it. Like, week one. I love that the conference is week one. You're playing a school you know. It's going to be a fun, tight game. And that's a great way to start the season. So I know we've talked a lot about how the more teams you add to the playoff picture, the less kind of it trickles down the regular season. but you still can't hide from regular season games. So yeah, whoever came up with this idea for week one regular season games, that was a brilliant idea. And it kind of keeps the element surprise open. And I hope your Gophers do pull off the upset. They're 13.5-point dogs to Ohio State. But yeah, I love this week one. Play someone you know. Let's see what you got. That's a great marketing idea. It'll be good for TV. I'm sure those games will get higher ratings than probably other games of, like, you know, opponents who maybe aren't familiar with each other. But yeah, it's a brilliant idea. And like you said before, this is probably the second best conference in football this year. Maybe we'll have the Big 12. Maybe the Big 12 could change as the season goes on. And obviously Texas and OU are still there this year. But yeah, the Big 10, like usual, should deliver. And the main question, as I said, you know, can someone knock out Bama from the SEC? Can someone win this conference, or could another team besides Ohio State make the freaking playoff?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's been 5 years in a row now that Ohio State's won it. And at least, shit, Bama's actually not won it for five straight years in there. So, you know, it's even worse than you think sometimes. It's funny. This is from Darren Rovell. Nebraska's 375 game sellout streak, which dates back to 1962, is officially on the hot seat against Anyway, they're playing nobody, basically, and they're thinking after that loss that they were actually getting their ass kicked by Illinois. They came back and made it a game, but that streak might be on the line. Iowa's got a tough schedule. Purdue's got a really tough schedule. Michigan, you know, Phil still has him at 12, them at 12 for toughest schedule. So, boy, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. Let's look at that Big 12, because you're right. This might be the year that they sneak up and are the best, you know, conference. You have, obviously, Oklahoma, which has a stud quarterback returning, and now he's got a year under his belt, and it's going to be, you know, we'll hear this a lot with the returning COVID scholarships, right? I guess we could call them. But also having a full regular camp too, in a full off season, and you know, you don't have those stop and starts like you did, you know, this last summer. And even in the camp, you didn't do as much as you normally had. You see that in the pros as well. So that'll be kind of interesting how that works. But Oklahoma right now in the AP, Oklahoma's number two. Number 21 is Texas. Otherwise, the only ranked team is Iowa State. And, you know, that coach has really built up that program. They got an experienced quarterback. Obviously, their running back is a stud. They are known for a pretty solid defense, kind of game, you know, game control, ball control type, you know, plays, and then make some big plays. Is this the year? You know, Iowa State says we're for real all the way, not just we're going to beat Oklahoma and then lose some games we shouldn't and still look pretty damn good. We were talking about how that team's ranked, and that's a surprise with Indiana. Number 7 in the country, Iowa State. But, you know, being that they've done some, you know, some good work the last couple of years, it feels like, yeah, I mean, I would legitimately call them, you know, one of the favorites for sure, just as much as Texas is to win the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn with them. Because last year I felt they maybe got a little too much hype, or maybe it was just they lost a couple of games where they really could have stepped up another level. But I mean, obviously, when you look at their regular season record, it wasn't bad. I mean, your losses were the week one to Lafayette. You lost at Oklahoma State, and you lost Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, and you beat Oklahoma at home earlier in the year. So, I mean, they've taken all the right steps there. Chris, the thing that stands out to me the most is that I felt like last year that Brock Purdy, like, regressed, and I didn't think their offense was as good as it needed to be for the ranking that they got. Like, this team finished the year ranked really highly, but also you could argue last year the Big 12 wasn't super strong. So I feel the team is a little overinflated, So when I see the number 7, I'm just thinking in the back of my head, okay, like, clearly you're getting the hype last year, which some was deserved, and I think some of it wasn't. So I guess I kind of want to see how they start off the year again. Like, this team has the potential, but I don't know if they're still quite the word name to be reckoned with. We have a single digit next to us. I'm not sure if that's the case. And if it is, prove me wrong, but I would feel so much more confident if I felt their quarterback got better. But last year when I watched him, and I watched him play a shitload of games, this is me just upset because I lost like one bet on the guy. But I just feel like he didn't take steps in the right direction. And he is obviously a very important part of that team. So I want to see if the offense evolves more, because if it does, then like, look out for them. Who knows? I'm not quite as bullish on them as everyone else is. And the one crazy thing I've heard is that, like, people think that, like, even the Phil Steele magazine, because my buddy was telling me about it, I know you read that as well. The people are ranking the Oklahoma defense to be like a top 10, top 12 defense this year. Like, if Oklahoma legit has a top 10 defense this year, like, you could give them the title. Because you know that that coach always, always, always has a brilliant offensive game plan. Lincoln Riley, and he's now got his second year with Rattler. They'll be good to go. But if Oklahoma's got a fierce defense for once in since God knows how long, they could
use fierce and defense in the same sentence with Oklahoma. Okay. Just don't do that.
I'm telling you, if the hype magazines are right and Oklahoma's defense is legit, like, that team could have a hell of a year. But again, as skeptical as I am on Iowa State proving their number 7 ranking, I'm like 5 times more skeptical of seeing Oklahoma have a strong 11-man team when they don't have the ball in their hands.
Yeah, and can TCU bounce all the way back? Because they got a lot of folks, along with Iowa State, coming back with a lot of experience. Oklahoma's actually kind of in the middle there. And you're right, there has been a lot of talk about their improved defense. We know it doesn't even need to, if it's top 40 or top 30 or top 20, if it's top 20, yeah, that could be, it'll probably still be a 48 to 45 that they win the national championship, but still, like, you're right, that would make for a big noise. I mean, that would make them like, wow. And then, I don't know, maybe that would, well, I'm not going to go there, because I was going to say maybe that would spawn more defensive players that want to play in the SEC to come, and then they'd just be known for defense too. But that's so far away. We're just not going to do it.
Go ahead. Speaking of our raging Cajuns.
We're at the 42-minute mark, just so you know. So let's try to pick some of this up. We'll kind of blend the ACC and Pac-12 together.
Cool. I was just going to say, speaking of our raging Cajuns, that's who UT's got. So last year, the Raging Cajuns knocked off Iowa State. This year, week one, and we'll get to a great slate of week one games here very shortly. Week one does involve our Raging Cajuns, our adopted team, going against Stark and the Longhorns. And God, I would love, love, love to break down a Raging Cajun victory over Horns Down next week, my friend.
All right. Well, one real quick thing. Will Clemson, who returns a quarterback, but fills in a quarterback that we've already seen play in a big game and play damn good, they're going to hit the ground running. Can anybody beat Clemson and take the ACC? I know UNC's a juggernaut on offense. Miami is probably going to be a juggernaut on offense because they turned that leaf over last year with the new coordinator, and obviously King, who's kind of a dark horse for a Heisman. Can either of those teams, by the way, Miami has a ton of talent coming back too, and more importantly on their offensive line. Now, I just wonder for Miami, the edges, you know, they lost 3 dudes to the pros, and all 3 of them, especially 2 of them, are studs, and one of them just going off already in preseason. But they do have a ton of talent coming back. Speaking of Oklahoma, they added that Rambo from Oklahoma that was on the team a couple of years ago. He actually is a wide receiver, kind of a quick slashy type guy. But is anyone going to beat Clemson when push comes to shove and actually knock them off and win the ACC? Because this is even worse. You know, we need Florida State, I guess, to do it, because otherwise nobody else has seemed to even come close to doing it.
I hope someone does, because I'm so tired of Dabo and him saying his, like, five or six really dumb things throughout the year.
Hey, wait, I thought he wasn't going to play. I thought he was done coaching. He's not going to coach anymore because the players are making money.
I heard that too. Shock. I think Carolina's offense might rival Clemson's offenses here, but you need the full team. I don't know. Again, I hope Carolina could. Maybe Vautech will bring back Frank Beamer and Michael Vick, and they could do it. I don't know. Maybe that'd be cool. It's like, just give me something, because I'm so tired of Dabo. But the Vegas odds would obviously recommend that Clemson wins it again. But if someone new wants to take over that ship for a year, God bless them. Let it happen. That's my optimistic faith on that.
And, you know, Miami took a step back defensively last year, whereas they had been really solid there for about four straight years. But the head coach, who was the defense coordinator, now is going to be the coordinator again. He's still the head coach, but he's going to do the plays and all that. And we started going back to what we did a handful of years ago and start to play zone and read and all. No, not South Florida. You attack. That's what you do on defense, and that's what they need to do. So hopefully they're back. If they're back to a top 20 defense, it could get scary and they could maybe do it. But I just, you know, big fan of Miami, but you got to kind of see it to believe it. We'll talk a little bit about the non-conference, but the Pac-12, USC and Oregon are ranked the highest, 11 and 15 respectively. Utah's ranked as well. ASU, who, you know, should take a jump here. They got a young quarterback now that's played a lot of games. Washington is another team to look out for in that conference. I really think that they actually might have built up enough talent, and I look for Washington to make some noise this year. Oregon has a lot of talent, not necessarily returning, but Arizona State actually leads the Pac-12 in returning, playmakers and experience and all that on the experience chart. I kind of look at ASU and Washington as being the dark horses, Marshall. But, you know, Utah has been solid, and maybe they'll bounce back and have a really solid year. They kind of fell off a little bit of late. Oregon hasn't been that top 10 year in, year out team for quite a while since their coach left, right? And then USC, you know, I know you don't like the coach, but this might be the year. What if they win the Pac-12, go to the Rose Bowl again, and then how are you going to fire the guy?
I'm just going to disregard that comment because this is our week zero podcast. I'm not even going to go on a rant. So I'm just going to let that slide for now. And I'm just going to completely block it, even though I love that team with all my heart. Moving on. I hope UCLA gets their ass whooped in a week by LSU. That'll be my Pac-12 South comment. obviously, Arizona's on a rebuild. Arizona State, as you said, the Fighting Herm Edwards, they keep getting better. That's a hiring a couple of years ago. Herman's like, was like, what is this story? And since then, that guy's pretty much given them a good season almost every year. And again, they have a preseason ranking next to them, which is something, as I mentioned, in Indiana, we normally did not have a Arizona State team with a preseason ranking next to them, Chris. My best friend always likes to load up on a team to win their season, win bet total. And my buddy loaded up on Washington. That's kind of his. He must be kind of on the same page as you. I think their win total is 8.5, and he's got that one locked in for a good chunk of change. So he's with you on the Washington pick. Obviously, Washington State, since Leach left, is still in a rebuild. Stanford has not quite been the same Stanford the past handful of years. Yeah. And Oregon State, to give them credit, used to be a speed bump like Arkansas. They've been making gradual steps up to improve. Again, they're not going to contend, but Oregon State has kind of taken, I think if you're Oregon State, you probably want to have a year like Arkansas had last year, where you're not a joke anymore, and you maybe give people a little more of a fight, unlike they did last season. So yeah, I think the Pac-12 should be From the preseason rankings, Chris, it looks more competitive than we're used to. And you would assume, speaking of UCLA, who, again, I hope LSU stomps them, you assume they need to be better, or I think that coach is out the door. He's had a leash of time now to improve.
He doesn't have his Houston connection. That's what it is, dude. He doesn't have his Houston connection, so he's no good anymore.
I mean, you know, USC, whatever, we'll be okay this year like normal. Utah is going to be good again. Herm Edwards will be good again. Colorado is normally a respectable team that wins 7 games a year. This is his last year for UCLA with Chip Kelly. He really can't waste too much more time. He's got a good quarterback. He actually returns all 11 of his defensive players. Like, I think the time is now for him to kind of get going. So we'll see how that plays out for them.
And as far as the non-power conferences, or teams, I should say, Cincinnati, the Raging Cajuns that we, you know, we've been well documented of cheering for them. Central Florida, Coastal Carolina, Appalachian State could sneak up. Boise State, obviously, you always got to, you know, keep an eye on them. Houston could be something. It'll be kind of interesting to see. San Jose State has a big game coming up, speaking of. So, yeah, it'll be kind of interesting. Anything else preview-wise before we should, at the 51 mark, 51 minute mark, start to get into these preview and predictions here, sir?
No, I'd say we're good. And speaking of that, we do have a game on Wednesday. It is UAB Jacksonville State. If you want to watch that or bet on that, have fun. Thursday, it starts to get a little bit better. I've kind of went through day by day and like looked at games this week to enjoy. We actually have a pretty good week. I will say there's 2 games to enjoy on Thursday. I will preview one, and I'll let my co-host talk about another one because I know he wants to break this down at least a little bit. The one fun game you can watch on Thursday night at 6 o'clock on ESPN is Boise State-UCF. These are pretty much the 2 most popular mid-major teams in the past 15 years of college football. Now, we'll see how either do this year, but Boise State, it seems like they've regressed a little bit. UCF, again, they were kind of, you know, regressed just a little bit the last couple of years. But if you want to just say naturally, just fun football game to watch of 2 teams that should look pretty damn good to kick off the season. Boise State UCF is Thursday night. That should be a fun game. UCF is a 5-point favorite in over under of 69. So you expect UCF's offense to get rolling. Boise normally always plays pretty well to start off the season. But on that same evening, about an hour later, Ohio State plays Minnesota. Chris, what do you think is going to happen with your boys 3 nights from now?
That's a good question. I'm glad that you brought up that kind of under the radar, hardcore type banger, because that should be a really good game that you mentioned. You know, the biggest thing, we talked about the offensive line coming back. You know, Dunlop was actually a guy that on the left side that actually was in a boot from the opening kickoff last year, never played. And then the right tackle never played because he's a big dude with asthma and just didn't play because of COVID. So the top 2, you know, we got a bunch of solid offensive linemen, and some of them are going to go pro. But the highlight guys, the big guys that the scouts come out, they're both coming back now. And like I said, so it's the same exact intact, 6 deep intact as far as starters that have played a lot from that 11-2 season. So we're pretty squared up there. Obviously, you know, losing Rashad Bateman, lost him actually kind of during the year last year. You know, that'll be something that kind of stands out. You know, wide receiver wise, Chris Autumn Bell Jr.'s a pretty damn good player, but Daniel Jackson, like a redshirt freshman, he should be, you know, pretty damn good. He's going to probably break out, but they've added through recruiting and through transfers the interior of the defensive line. And that is something that we're going to see how it holds up. Because Ohio State generally can run the ball. So I want to see Pickney, who's a senior, a fifth-year senior, who actually played for Clemson on championship teams. He actually, they got so much depth. They're actually saying this is one of their best defensive line, even from a couple years ago. So, and Clemson right now. So he actually wanted to make sure he got full starting time instead of just rotating. So he actually transferred here, which would be big. And we already have the Treadway dude who's played here. So the edge rushers I really want to see. But, yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you, long story short, I really hope they're competitive for, like, say, 2.5 quarters into the fourth quarter. I'm not thinking that they're going to, pull off the upset. But what a way to start the year if they did. But I think Ohio State will win.
I think your Gophers cover. I hope they find a way to cover. It's balanced between 13.5 to 14.5. I'm sure that place will have as many fans as it can hold. And maybe you're able to sneak up on Ohio State as they bring in a new quarterback. So hopefully you can pull off like you said, for sure a competitive game. If there's an upset, I'm sure he'll be playing the Gopher fight song to start off next week's podcast. When we go on to Friday, there is a team we talked about playing who's going to have Friday night's first game of the night. It's 5:00 on ESPN again. North Carolina playing Virginia Tech. Carolina is only a 5.5-point favorite, which seems a bit low. I know that obviously it's hard to predict teams when the season's just begun, but Carolina should be really, really good. And Vautech the last couple of years hasn't been good. And obviously they will be playing Enter Sandman, which is super fun to see. If you ever watched a Vautech game, they play that song as the players walk onto the field and the place jumps around. It's actually really cool. But Chris, maybe we could have, we talked about the Big Ten having a fun opening week with having some matching conference games. If you are North Carolina and this is your year to maybe contend and give Clemson a fight, you probably didn't want to start your season off at Virginia Tech just because, shitty or not, that team at home always kind of has some weird lucky wins. And this is a good test to start the season for the Tar Heels and Baby Blue.
Yeah, it's only a 5.5-point spread, of course, on the 3 points you give on the road. But, yeah, you're right. It is kind of funky like that. How about South Dakota upsetting Kansas? I don't care. 77.5% is according to ESPN's Football Power Index, which we had to get that going out. What about South Dakota over Kansas? That could have been the crafty, crappy pick of the week. Maybe I actually just picked it. Michigan State and Northwestern. Northwestern doesn't have a lot of returning starters, and they generally every third to fourth year are very good. They had a pretty good year last year. They're only a 3-point favorite at home to a Michigan State that we still don't quite know what's what. So on the hardcore level, I think that's a good game. Oklahoma and Tulane shouldn't be much, but another 11:00 Central game on Fox, Penn State against Wisconsin. That's kind of an interesting way, 5.5 points at home for Wisconsin. A lot of people are high on Penn State this year.
Yeah, that'll be a fun game to watch. I think both teams, I don't know. I have no idea what to think about that game. Normally Wisconsin kind of shows you if their offense will be good or bad after a couple of weeks, because Wisconsin normally always plays a couple of like 20 to 30 point week one, week two favorites. They don't got that this year. You're starting off versus a ranked team again in conference. I hope Wisconsin wins. I'm by no means a Penn State fan. I've always kind of been a Wisconsin fan through a friend. I hope they pull that game off, but yeah, that one will be tough to say just because normally Wisconsin, just that offense is ground and pound run, and it's not going to be that easy for their week one kickoff.
Yeah, and they had a really rough close to the last year, and so it'll be interesting to see if they can get that out of their system. Obviously, speaking of jumping around and all that in a stadium, it's tough to win. The Gophers did it 2 years ago, but that was like an 8-win team or whatever. So that's kind of one of those, let's look at the first week. And you kind of got to do that, right? We've seen that many a times. Let's see what we got here, because they probably shouldn't be 12. But what if they go out and handle Penn State? Then they'll probably move up. So it kind of feels like they should maybe be in the teens, maybe in the 20s, Wisconsin, but they're 12 right now. They've earned their brand anyway, as far as being a top 15, top 20 program, no doubt about that. But yeah, we'll see. And you're right. The first couple of weeks, it takes them a while to get their offense going, even in the mediocre games that the opponents, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's times where it's like, okay, it's late third quarter. Then they finally maybe cover the spread, but you're right. That's a good call. You do see that. And then, you know, another hardcore game, Stanford and Kansas State, you know, close on the, you know, on the books, Kansas State 2.5. It's just one of those games that you may just want to keep an eye on and watch the fourth quarter. And then we got Alabama, number one against number 14, Miami, 18.5 point spread on my Canes.
I do love how your two favorite teams in college football that you love with your heart.
Yeah, it's a great
Alabama
fucking week.
And Ohio State.
Great fucking opening week for me. Sweet, dude. The top two teams in the country, both my squads. Yeah, it's great, man. I'm really
pumped.
What's going to be the combined score they lose by? Maybe we should start to focus on that.
I might have to Venmo you a nice sized Venmo for a purchase of choice of yours of whatever thing you would use to call them yourself. So a Venmo might be sent for you, my friend.
Man, it's rough, dude.
You know, clear sailing
after that, though. Clear sailing for like 8 weeks after that. But, man, yeah, it's rough.
And you can say, hey, it's week one against Saban, but Saban still is probably the best coach around. You can say it's week one for the Hurricanes. Like, you know, you're going to catch Bama week one. Yeah, but this is still the week one version of Bama because their week one version is probably better than your week one version. Yeah. So I'm not sure if there's a good way to spin this necessarily. I hope your boys football. Hell, if your boys win, forget about the Gopher fight song. Well, it'll be I might have to wear a gold chain, turnover chain on my neck and take pictures and put them on Twitter. It would be, and if by chance I realize that the hell would probably freeze over and Texas might decide to leave the United States. But if that did happen, and if by chance the Golden
Gophers beat, that's got a better chance to happen than the other two things. Texas succeeding from the United States. Better chance than both these teams have.
But if by chance next week the Hurricanes beat Alabama and Ohio State loses to the Gophers, you will have probably the best podcast. You might have to just retire. I might have to do the show.
I might
by
jump
myself.
Off a 1,000-foot cliff and just be like, you know what? I had a great week. I'm pretty much good.
I might be solo on this podcast for the rest of the year because there's nothing Chris could talk about that would be worth anything else anymore.
Well, we'll have a four-hour podcast, too. I mean, we're going to go play by play.
It'll be 4 hours, drop the mic. I'll see you boys in November. I can go solo for 2 months. So, I mean, obviously, your Hurricanes, like, they're good luck. I mean, it's saving week one. But again, big picture, this is one of those things where you got to realize as a fan is it's not a conference game. We could still contend for the ACC against Clemson this year.
Exactly.
So look for those standout players, maybe a couple of guys who have like a great game on offense and defense. So like who are pieces we can build around this year and maybe what type of game plan does the coach have? You know, because the one nice thing about playing no-name teams is in a week one game is you can kind of just, you know, use your, you know, basic 101 offense. If you're Miami, there's no reason to hold back your trick plays and save it for people because you're not going to have a bigger game. So you literally got to kind of throw out the kitchen sink and see what you got. But hey, week one, give it a shot. You're going to have some players build some confidence. And just from a natural perspective, this is probably the best team to play all year or one of the top two. So
yeah,
it is kind of a good gut punch. Like, okay, guys, like we got Bama. We can build off this and push forward into the year. I mean, it's not ideal, but I guess you can try to find positive ways to spin it as the year goes on.
All right, so we're at the 64-minute mark. Let's fly now. Indiana is going to beat – yeah, I said it. Go into Iowa and beat Iowa, who's a 3.5-point favorite. That's what I'm calling. And – oh, the Raging Cajuns. What do you think about that game I just talked about? You think Iowa's going to protect their home house or their home field? because it's so tough to play there, or Indiana's for real?
I think Indiana paid the Big Ten Network to have that game played at 2:30. I think they sent a $200,000 check to avoid Connecticut Night, because if it's Connecticut Night, there's no way Indiana wins week one.
That's a good point. So what's your prediction there? Nice duck. I like that.
I will take Iowa week one at home, and they're lucky. I think in the fourth quarter, when it gets a little bit darker, that'll be enough for them.
19-16 or something like that. 18-17 or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right for a week one Iowa game. Yes, sir.
All right. The Raging Cajuns, 8-point dog on the road. And that's not much of a dog on the road. Eight points against Texas. And also, let's blend in San Jose State and USC. Could there be an upset ticking? I think San Jose State has a chance to come into that 14 points, but I'm not glued into it. What do you think about our Raging Cajuns? 23 in the country to open it up on the AP poll.
I think the Raging Cajuns for sure have a chance to beat Texas. I hope they do. This is a school last year that, I mean, played about as good as you could for of a football season with being a mid-major, having mid-major talented players, but that is a hell of a squad. If Texas does sleepwalk at all, I think that's going to definitely hurt them. And, you know, this is Sark's first year as being the UT head coach, and he just named a starting quarterback like 2 days ago. So I think that if you're the Raging Cajuns, you're playing Texas at a good chance. They have nothing to lose. I think that'll be a fun game. I hope they pull off the upset, and I will be nervous as hell because knowing Clay Helton and USC, they'll probably be down at halftime, and there'll be some fourth quarter USC miraculous leg game comeback. Because
third string quarterback that just got on the team or something like that.
Yeah, because he ain't going to have those boys prepared like they should be. So I will take San Jose State to cover. I think USC wins, but it won't be pretty at all.
Yeah, all right. So obviously Georgia and Clemson. Clemson 3-point favorite, just barely, according to ESPN's Football Power Index. 69%, like it's a walk in the park. Compared to 31% for Clemson, like it's no big deal. This one's at the Bank of America Stadium. What do you think's going to happen here? I just feel so confident of what I saw of the new quarterback for Clemson, and I know their defensive line's nasty. I just find, you know, it might be ugly because we talk about week one, week two, your first big matchup against a big team or a quality team can look ugly in September. But I think Clemson's going to get the job done.
For the first time, I think, in this podcast history, maybe in my life, I'm cheering for Georgia. I don't think I ever have cheered for Georgia since I can recall being a friend of yours. But I'm going to, because I would love to see Clemson lose week one and see Dabo come up with some BS nonsense and see their title chances dwindle by any chance at all. So I'm cheering for Georgia. I'm not sure they can do it, but I think that's a super fun game to watch against two teams I really can't stand, but I will have that game on my TV just because, again, that's a really fun week one matchup. So we have some ACC matchups. We have some Big Ten matchups. And this alone, and it's in its own slot too. A lot of the games Chris and I previewed are in that 2:30 window. This one has a 6:30 window kind of to itself. So this should be a really enjoyable game, and I hope somehow Georgia upsets Clemson, just to piss off Sweeney.
So this is kind of crazy. We know LSU wasn't great last year. It's not like Ukala, UCLA was actually phenomenal either. But, you know, we talked about this a little bit. You mentioned this, but only LSU a 3-point favorite on the road. 53.2% according to ESPN's Football Power Index for LSU. Now, Ukala played a game, so maybe they got the rust off. Man, according to Vegas, this is going to be a field goal type, you got to kick a field goal to win type game.
UCLA's quarterback last week was 10 for 20 for $130 against Hawaii. Like, I cannot go on this podcast with a straight face say that I think Chip Kelly's going to outcoach Coach O. I will bet LSU. I'm not sure for what, but I'm going to take LSU. Their fans will travel out there. It won't be Death Valley, but it won't be an all LSU. It won't be an all UCLA crowd. I promise you that. So I will take LSU to take care of business. And I don't care what type of team they've had, but I'm taking Coach O and his squad to take care of UCLA 100%. So go LSU.
Hopefully they got out of there, and thoughts go out to everybody in Louisiana with that storm coming in. Texas Tech, Houston. I like Houston to pull the upset, but that's going to be a good game. And then the other game that stands out to me as far as just a hardcore good game, Nevada at Cal. That's a tight game on the books as well. Any other games you want to talk about? Because we should be wrapping this thing up here, after one last segment.
I think that pretty much did it. My boy Lane Kiffin, he gets his own game on Monday night, so all the eyes can turn to watch. Hottie Toddy Ole Miss take on Louisville, which should be a fun game, and hopefully my boy Kiffin starts the season off right, because that's my squad. I gotta back my boy Lane, and I will keep people updated all year as to how they do.
All right, hit me with it. Hit me with the crafty, crappy pick of the week.
All right, so as we do that, we'll pick a game at the end of each week, which is just two crappy teams against each other. We've done this for almost every year of podcasts, and believe it or not, in all the years we've done this, my co-host's win percentage is like literally about 75%. So if you've followed our picks on this segment throughout the whole years of these shows, you're up a ton of money. No lie. So we're going to start off 7 o'clock Central. We are going to Hancock Whitney Stadium. We have the Southern Miss Golden Eagles against the South Alabama Jaguars.
Ooh, ooh.
The South Alabama Jags are a 1-point home favorite, and I will leave it to you, and I will finish with the alumni battle, my friend.
Wow. Okay, so this one's kind of funky to start out with, I like the Hancock Whitney Stadium. You got to love that. That's in Mobile, Alabama. I don't even have to say that. Everybody knows that. Tickets start as low as $35. So that's good ticket prices. Let's put it that way. Get in where you fit in on that one. So it's basically Mississippi against Alabama. It's just the southern part. South Alabama, Southern Mississippi. I don't like the way South Alabama closed the season last year, but they did play a fair amount of ranked teams. So you got to keep that involved. And that is one of the formulas. You can look, we're playing, they're shitty teams, obviously. But when the ones that play good teams and get their ass kicked for whatever reason, that does kind of sharpen their tool, I guess. So, being that, you can't just walk into Hancock Whitney Stadium in Mobile, Alabama, and act like you're going to get this W. So, I don't care that according to ESPN's Football Power Index, that they're actually 55.1% for Southern Miss. And I don't care if Favre went there, nothing like that. He's not there. Who knows where Favre is? I haven't even seen him on a commercial lately. So I'm going the South Alabama Jaguars. So there's a lot of Jaguars in Alabama that I did not know. I'm going with the Jags from South Alabama to get it done week one, sir.
And again, we will do that at the end of every week. It's a very fun segment. And a final touch I put out last year was we have a alumni battle and then our show's over. So for the alumni battle, I'm going to start off with South Alabama. Their first 6 out of 7 alumni all have baseball hats on. John Lieber used to be a pitcher. Luis Gonzalez won a World Series title with the D-backs. David Freese made me curse his name many times as a St. Louis Cardinal. Screw him. Juan Pierre was a good Marlin.
Doesn't surprise me that it's a bunch of baseball players.
Adam Lynn was a Blue Jay. You got a bunch of more baseball people. PJ Walters used to be a Minnesota Twin. Never heard of the guy, but he's got a picture of a Twins hat on. there's the South Alabama apparently is a really popular baseball school.
And I was thinking it was Southern Miss because I thought they were pretty good at baseball too.
No, but man, South Alabama's got like a legit like probably 12 to 15 MLB baseball players. So
who's their quarterback must be play baseball too.
I guess. So credit to them. Now, to get to the Southern Miss alumni, Clarence Witherspoon, Jimmy Buffett, Ray Guy, probably the best kicker of best punter of all time, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, because there's named after the Ray Guy Award. Obviously, the Wonder Boy Brett Favre is the first name photoed up in there.
And is it a picture of him or is stuff?
It is a picture of him. In the picture I'm aware of. It's just a close-up headshot. And after that, they got a bunch of no-name guys, too. I think for the sake of just alumni battles, I think Brett Favre takes down all the baseball guys. So Southern Miss wins the week one alumni battle over South Alabama, but I did not know that South Alabama is a and Frank Gore went there. Huh. One of the best running backs in NFL history is behind people who there's a guy named Matt Carpenter who his picture is him running up a like mountain with like on rocks
Gore,
and shit.
Did Frank Gore transfer to Miami then?
Frank Gore is pictured behind people who I don't even is it Frank Gore
played at Miami.
Okay, so, now what Google doesn't tell? Oh, they do the little dots. They're covering up the Frank Gore Jr.
This is wrong.
They're being sneaky. I don't appreciate people trying to hide stuff on the internet, Chris. That was
insane. I did not know he transferred, and what the hell would he be going to that school anyway, whether he transferred or not.
Maybe he's like J.R. Smith wanting to go back for his golf scholarship. Maybe Frank Gore is going to retire as a Colt and then go back to Southern Miss to be a golfer. Can't rule that out. I'm just saying. All right. So on that note, again, if there is a Gopher win or a Hurricane win or a Lane Kiffin win, be ready for a very festive college football podcast as we've done the games and preview more. Until then, stay safe. Keep wearing a mask if you need to. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We'll have many more to come this whole season. The boys are out tonight. Peace.